the last case today, Moore v. Superior Auto.
May it please the court, my name is John Pierce and I represent Jane Moore in her case against Superior Auto. And looking at this matter, in my opinion, this is an issue that or a case that should have survived summary judgment any day of the week. It is a Title VII retaliation case, whether you look at it under direct evidence or under the burden-shifting method of McDonnell Douglas, it should survive summary judgment. Looking at the facts in this, first of all, under direct evidence, Ms. Moore made a complaint about sexual harassment. An adverse employment action occurred. She was terminated, and we have established a causal relationship between the two. The day that she complained about sexual harassment, she was told by Cheryl Merritt that either she should forgive and forget Larry Kappas, whom she complained about, or else the company might not be so forgiving and forgetting. After that, despite performance deficiencies in her coworker at her store, her coworker was considered to be a better candidate for a sole collector position, which would have meant that Ms. Moore would have been terminated as a result.
But Mr. Pierce, what are we to do with the fact that this customer, perhaps inaccurately, I mean, I don't know how it happened, but this customer thought that it was Ms. Moore who refused to accept the payment, not unrelated Mr. Moore, right? The company has the written complaint by the customer in hand. Are they supposed to disbelieve that?
In a normal course of events, it would not be retaliation for the company to believe that without investigating. However, given the sequence of events that followed her complaint, which include statements by Cheryl Merritt as forgiven, you know, don't you better forgive and forget, by Mickey Straub, who says that she's causing problems and that she is going to be leaving the company soon. Then we have the Troy Moore incident that is taken by the company as in their failure to investigate as being Ms. Moore. And then afterwards we have the company providing false information to a potential employer. Taken all together, those add up to retaliation.
Well, you've got the affidavit, certainly, and you're right, you do have, taking the facts in the light most favorable to Ms. Moore, you have the company not looking into it, even to the point of just saying to the two of them what happened that day and see what they said. I don't know why they had to do that when they had, I guess, first the phone call and then the affidavit from the customer. In terms of the form they filled out afterwards, false in the sense of timing, not false in the sense of over the years had she received different warnings and discipline. So it might have just been careless as opposed to false.
Well, as far as the timing goes, the report that they made to Numbers and Words was regarding her attendance during the last year. Not only do we not have any evidence on the record that she had an attendance problem during the final year of her employment, we don't have any information on the record if she had any attendance problem during her entire employment.
The form you've attached in your brief at page, there's a 59 here, so I guess that's page 59, says, has the employee received any termination/discharge warnings due to attendance problems within the last year employed with your company? If yes, provide the dates such action was taken. And it just says yes, multiple.
Correct.
So, yeah.
And she had, in fact, not received any warnings or disciplinary notices regarding her attendance in the past year, nor do we have any evidence that she had at any time in her employment. And perhaps what is telling in this is that directly prior to her complaint, she was seen as a stellar employer or employee. She was carrying the store, as they said. Her coworker was up for disciplinary action directly before her complaint. After her complaint, her co-worker was being considered for her position, or for the sole position. Ms. Moore was not being considered, or at least the evidence tends to show that she was not being considered for it. We have Mickey Straub, one of the decision makers, making comments to the effect that she's a troublemaker and that she's going to be leaving the company soon. All this, when the company then gets a complaint from a customer, gives them a very convenient excuse to get rid of her, with, and they just take it. They don't investigate in any way whatsoever. They just jump on it, terminate her, and she's out of there. She's no longer a problem of theirs. And that, to me, looking at all this, is classic retaliation, and should certainly go to a jury. The Superior Auto makes quite a bit out of the Perkins case, wherein it discusses the time frame of retaliation. Analogizes Perkins to this by saying that since the time frame was more than 3 months, it can't be retaliation. Two things. First of all, Perkins is distinguishable on the facts. In Perkins, the complainant made a complaint. About 3 months later, she was laid off, which was part of her normal layoff on a seasonal basis. And then a few months after that, she was not called back. At the same time, there were two similarly situated individuals, one who had more seniority, one who had less seniority than her, that were not called back either. In this matter, not only do we have a complaint, but then we have some other actions that occur in between time. We have the starting, at least, of making the decision to have Gina Miller take her place. We have Mickey Straub, the replacement, making comments about her as far as she's not going to be around soon, and or not going to be around much longer, and that she will be leaving soon. We have her termination. So we have a whole series of events there. Also, there are no similarly situated individuals who are terminated with her. She is the only one, which falls under the indirect burden shifting method.
I guess the reprimand, depending on which one it was for failure to take accept a customer's payment. Right?
Yes, sir.
Had she had any reprimands with regard to that before?
She had had one in July 2001, I believe.
So this was the second one of the same
type. This was the second one in the same type of event. But I think also the record shows that her performance had been phenomenal during the year prior to her complaint. The company really had no reason to question her up until the point she did make a complaint. And then all of a sudden, it seems to me that the record shows that her performance slipped in their eyes. And then we start down this series of events, it ends up with her being terminated without any investigation whatsoever. And like I said, normally the lack of investigation, especially in an employment will state like Indiana, is not the deciding factor. However, this is near the end of the whole line of things that occurred to Ms. Moore as a result of her complaint. If there are no further questions, I
thank you, Mr. Chairman. Thomas?
Good morning, and please the court. Addressing first this issue of the March 6th termination of the appellant Jane Moore, in reference to that issue of not taking a payment, on July 3rd, 2001, Jennifer Schaefer was the store manager or regional manager of the Monticello store, and Jane Moore and Jenny Miller were both the collectors at that store in July of 2001. At that time, a couple came in and complained that Jane Moore had locked the door at 12:50. They got there to give a payment so that they would not be delinquent on their car payment. And they contacted Gina Miller, and then they got a hold of Jennifer Schaefer. At that time, she wasn't married, and her name was Whitted. And they get Jennifer Schaefer, took a statement from them that said that Jane Moore would not open up the door, that she would not take the payment, that they'd have to come back some other time, and that they were afraid that they would be delinquent on that payment. At that time, a performance report was done, conference had, with Jane Moore. and she was informed that this was a priority for a collector to take payments. And if she failed to do it again, she could be terminated for that activity. On March 1st, customers by the name of Workmans said that they, and this was on a Saturday, I think it was, they said on Monday they report when they're deficient. They came to the store in Monticello, Indiana. Jane Moore was working. That they wanted to make a payment. The door was locked. She wouldn't take the payment. She wouldn't let them come in.
In the meantime, however, she had gotten some very positive performance reviews, and it seems odd that no one asked for her side of that story.
They
no
did. She just didn't give one. She says,
when in the record does it show that she was in the internal investigation of this?
It says in Jane Moore's own deposition, she specifically states that she was called in on March 6th, confronted with these issues, and chose not to make any comments, but rather just simply left. And she, in fact, in the July 3rd incident of 01, she specifically made no comments or references that this was not true at all. In either case, Jane Moore refused to or did not make any comments that it did not happen.
So she didn't. What about the comments from Mickey Straub in advance saying that she was creating problems and she'd be leaving the company soon?
I think this was a business, and the one oddity in this whole situation was in the fall of 2002 and the spring of 2003, as in the deposition of Jenny Schaefer, there had been software improvements within that industry. The smaller stores, of which Monticello was one, no longer needed two collectors. It could operate on one collector. There were five or six of these stores. They were making investigations as to who would stay and who would leave. It's odd in this particular Monticello store that the other girl, Jenna Miller, had made an allegation of sexual harassment against the manager of the store in the spring of 2001. She wasn't terminated. There's never any action taken against her, but it is in the record that she had claimed of sexual harassment as well as Jane Moore.
But the record shows that her performance was not up to the same level that Ms. Moore's performance.
Her performance in reference to attendance and some other issues. And like all businesses have things that are more important than others. In fact, in the February 4th reprimand of 03, February 4th of 03, both Jane Moore...
Both of them, yeah, they both had all these accounts without insurance.
Insurance and personal references. Jenny Miller signs the form and dates it. Jane Miller refuses to sign it and specifically writes on the form she believes that this is only brought up because of the allegation of sexual harassment she'd made back in November. And further, insurance and personal references have never been that important. The first thing was getting payments. She specifically says she understood in February the most important thing here is to take payments. The other stuff is secondary, and she believes they're only bringing that up because of her allegation of sexual misconduct by her former manager. She doesn't know, certainly, that the other person that is dealing with the currency, the other collector, has also been written up for the same thing, and also another collector at the same time was written up for the same shortages in insurance information and personal references. So our position was that this activity would have come down to where you'd had two people in this matter. There was only three ever listed, Jane Moore, Jenny Miller, and Troy Moore. And Moore was actually terminated afterwards for failure to proceed with collections. We had two women, two females who had actually done charges or alleged issues of sexual harassment that were resolved by the company. Nobody disputes that issue. One of them left on her own volition. The other one was terminated. The other guy was terminated for basically the same thing that Jane Moore did, failure to collect on monies. Yeah, I think the issue could have been even worse if, when we made this decision, if the company hadn't come up with the fact that these people came in of their own volition, the workmen's on March 1st and complained. But actually, they didn't come in. Jenny Miller called them on Monday after this Saturday because Jane Moore wasn't there. She was ill or something. And told them their account was delinquent. And they said, no, we were there to make the payment. This is what's going on. And that started this whole process, which was the same scenario of approximately 20 months before. That resulted in there no need to terminate one of them simply because we were going down in numbers. We were dropping one collector. It was not the cause. It was not the savior. It was just a fact that arose that she'd been warned before. Same exact term. She's warned the first time. You can be terminated. Same exact scenario. The second time, the only difference is she is terminated. Questions? I have nothing further.
Thank you, counsel. You have 2 minutes, Mr. Pierce.
If, in fact, the company was looking towards going to a sole collector store in December 2002, early 2003, we need to look back to October 2002 to see how the company reviewed Gina Miller. When they say that your unreliability creates an unacceptable burden on others who are busy with their own responsibilities, if you do not make these changes, we may be able to force and take alternate action, which may include termination. Ms. Moore, however, was reviewed in this way by Jennifer Schaefer. I would just like to say that Jane Moore has been a great employee for the past year. I have not had any problems with her. Her accounts have been above standard and charge-off below. She has been carrying the store on aging and charge-off. Skipping forward, she has been a major team player. She was carrying the store in October of 2002. In December of 2002, they were not considering her. Gina Miller or Jenny Schaefer did not consider her to be the stronger candidate for a sole collector position. There is a series of events that start out with her complaint of sexual harassment, that ends up in her termination, and then followed by further retaliation after her termination. The company, their attorney, has done an excellent job of lawyering on this and has raised some issues with regard to the...
Well, in particular, he said that when given the opportunity after the workman incident, I'll call it, she did not say it wasn't I, it was Troy, or anything to that effect.
It's my understanding she was terminated at that point.
So we have to just look at the record and see whether she was given the opportunity to
present
her side of things?
I don't believe the record's clear either way on that.
Okay.
Whether or not she did give or was given an opportunity to make a statement.
All right, because you said no, and he very distinctly said yes, and so I think we have to see.
I will say apparently I'm out of time. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Mr. Pierce. Thanks to both counsel. The case will be taken under advisement.